You follow my point? So you know, there are things that are implicit inside statements that the Bible makes. When it says the multitude of counselors, it's not talking about the multitude of children. Are you getting my point? It's not saying the multitude of those who drink, you know, with you and commit all kinds of iniquities. When he uses the word counselors, he understands that you're talking about godly men who most likely are of your mates, of your level, or higher than you in level. I hope you've gotten that point there. All right, so let's go. Let's keep on talking. I want to see all those methods we said by which God speaks to people. There are two more that I think we'll have time for before we go into supernatural methods. Supernatural ways we'll have to leave till next time. Or we may just enjoy this rain, since we cannot go out in the rain anyway. So we may as well teach until the rain is over. And incidentally, I will use the rain as one of the examples. I'm about to go now, go on to something now. There are two methods, natural methods, which we should also understand, I should explain. I talked about advice, all right? Counsel from counselors. The next one I want to talk about is the one most of us have problems with. One major way that by which God speaks to you, this time around, is not advice, but by instruction from superiors. Did you get the point? I said what? Instruction. You know the thing about advice? You can refuse advice and you have not sinned. There is no sin that is called refusal of advice. That is why Ed Cole said, God does not give advice. You know, God doesn't advise people. He doesn't advise people. You know what he does? He gives commandments. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. It's not as good for you. It will help your business. It will help your family life. If you are born again, you don't know the goodness in being born again. No, God doesn't do that. He doesn't beg you, I think you should be born again. He says, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Even when he told people, listen to this, when he told Israel, behold, I lay before you life and death. What was the next thing he said? Choose life that you may live. I first give you the option, then I command you concerning the one you should choose. It's not advice. That's why if you don't choose life, the Bible says there is a just recompense of reward for what? Disobedience. Advice and instructions, they are two different things. You get the point? God does not ever give advice. What he gives all the time is what? Instruction. And what people in authority over you give is instruction, even though they may disguise it as advice. Do you hear what I said? Let me tell you this. If somebody has authority over you and he gives what appears like advice, take it as an instruction until proved otherwise. That's why in the English language, when they use the word may, those who don't learn enough English, they think may always means you may or you may not, as you like it. If your superiors say you may not, what it means is you must not. I remember once we had an issue when I was in Luth, the Association of Resident Doctors. The president, they had called a meeting, and then that of the executive. And the president suddenly got another official thing he was supposed to attend to. So he left a note for the vice president. And I think the secretary of the association, and said, I have to go for so and so thing. And he said, the meeting scheduled for Monday at 10 a.m. may not hold. And the boy is not being schooled in English language very well. Yeah, doctor doesn't mean you know all English. After all, they don't demand A1 to study medicine. They demand C6 in English. So the gap between C6 and A1 is very wide. So these people, they probably had that wide gap manifested that day in their ignorance. Because an issue came up, they made a decision in the president's absence. The VP and the SecGen were, you know, they were uniting against the president. So they thought it was their opportunity. to make a decision in his absence. And that day we were at this emergency meeting of the association, and the president said he told them that that meeting was canceled. And the vice president, was the secretary, he wanted to prove the president wrong. He brought out the notes that he left, that what he said is that the meeting may not hold. And I was there, I said, what is wrong with your head? You don't understand that that is a polite way in English of canceling something. When your superior uses the word may, it is not advice. It's just the Englishman's method of being polite. So if you ask your father, may I? And you say, you may not. It is not well. He left it open now. Nalai, what he said is what? You can't. No, that's the way it works. I'm going to bring out something. One of the ways by which God speaks is that he speaks through the authority over your head. Let us assume, for example, you're about to go for a conference, Christian conference. Last minute. Well, assume you work in my hospital. And your consultant comes and says, you, I want you to be on call on so and so and so date. There's an important surgery we have to do. Say, excuse me, sir. There's this conference. I have planned for it for the last 1.5 years. And the man says, no. There's nobody else that can do it apart from you. I want you to be with me that particular day. And you talk and talk and talk. That day, the day before that day, you're about to travel, and the man does not change his mind. Listen to me, saints of God, you have just discovered the will of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There is a rebellious attitude in which, you know, we hide behind church. You don't go to work on time, it's because I went to church. You get my point? Why were you absent in the office yesterday? There is this special leaders meeting that was going on in our church. Your pastor doesn't pay your salary. Are you getting what I'm saying? Listen to me. If it's working hours, your boss is supreme. Listen, when people in authority over your head give instructions, the only condition under which you can disobey is when obeying them will be direct disobedience to God. Let me say that again. The only condition under which you can disobey the constituted authority over your head is when obedience to that authority directly disobeys God. Like when they called the apostles and said, you must not speak in that name anymore. And God had commanded them directly not to cease speaking in that name, and to start from Jerusalem to Judea and Samaria and the uttermost part of the world. They said, you men, judge it yourselves. Is it right to obey you and disobey God? I like the way Reverend Chris Okotie put it. Whoever you choose to disobey, get ready for his judgment. If it's your boss, get ready to be sacked. If it is God, I leave the rest to you. That is, you can obey God and you get sacked. That's what I'm trying to say. Listen, if your boss says don't or do, let me give an example. Let's assume you are selling equipment like computers. I'm using that as an example because I have one in front of me here. And you have this batch that is defective. And you are a marketing person. Do you follow my point? And you are supposed to go and market them. And they discover that it's defective. Now listen to this. What do you do? You talk to your boss and say, excuse me, sir. This batch is defective. And then he calls you and says, we have spent a lot of money. Don't let anybody know. Don't let anybody know. Just go out and market them as if they are perfect, as if there's nothing wrong with them. Listen, I don't have time to quote scriptures on it. The fact is that if you go out knowing the thing is defective, and you go and sweet talk somebody into paying money for it, the Bible says you are an abomination to God. Do you get my point? It's called an unjust weight. It's an unjust scale. You know the man is going to invest 150,000 naira for a machine that will not work. And you open your mouth and explain. Listen, that's why I cannot understand, no matter how poor you are as a Christian, marketing cigarettes. I can't understand it. Listen, I can't. Nigeria Tobacco Company, listen, they can, even if I'm a designer, I cannot design an advert for them. They sell only poison. I was telling you the other time, just earlier on now, about the contamination of milk being produced in China by a substance called melamine. You know what's melamine? Let me summarize it for you. Look at this pulpit. Can you see the way it's shining? It's because there's a layer of what they call lacquer on top of it. Give it that glossy shine. You pour water on it, it doesn't touch the wood. The water runs off it. They use it to laminate stuff. You've laminated paper before. Yes, that's what melamine is used for. Another thing it's used for is as a fire retardant. What compound makes what fire burn? Oxygen, right? Yes, the more you have oxygen, the more fire burns. If you put nitrogen where fire is supposed to be burning, what happens? The fire quenches. Melamine contains so much nitrogen that when it starts burning, it releases so much nitrogen, the fire dies. So they use it to paint things to reduce the likelihood of the thing burning. But there's another thing. The nitrogen it contains, when authorities buying milk want to check whether your milk is pure, how much protein is inside it, they burn it in quotes and look for nitrogen. Because protein contains a lot of nitrogen. So the amount of nitrogen you find, all right, is checked to check how much protein is inside the liquid you are calling milk. So they will know that you have poured water into your milk or you haven't. So you know what people are doing? They started selling melamine to milk producers. They will pour melamine into milk. When they test it for protein, they'll say, ba-bam, protein, 90 inside here. And they will pay good prices for it. Do you follow the point? So they went around selling melamine. Except that melamine cannot be digested by the human system. It has to be excreted almost whole by the kidney, where it tends to block the kidneys and form stones. Especially in children that feed only on milk. Adults, what you end up taking is very small. But the child that feeds only on milk will have enough melamine to shut down his kidneys. That is the wickedness of the human soul. Anyway, what am I trying to say? Everyone who does such things deliberately, the Bible says is an abomination unto God. If your boss says do it, listen, you will obey him at the risk of being called an abomination before the throne of God. He will fire you, that's for sure. I worked in the clinic once. The man advertised that he wanted a medical doctor. And I applied and he employed me. The pay wasn't bad. Worked a few hours a day. Except that I did not know it was an abortion clinic. Abortion clinic. I am not exaggerating. God is my witness. He used to do at least 12 abortions a day. I don't think I'm overestimating. The first day I started working, I found that everybody that lost her period in the market came to look for it in our clinic. Doc, I think I missed my period. I said, why didn't you go to where you lost it and go and find it there? Did they tell you we have a search party looking for missing periods? To wonder, is this a refuse collection place that anything missing in the market, they come and look for it here? Anyway, cut a long story short, that's a joke, but is it really? They will come in. So I called the person, they said, so I said, okay, please, why don't you go and see the other doctor? That's the MD. We're two that will be working, the man who employed me. He tolerated my practice for a few weeks. Then one day he got tired. He said, all he's asking me to do is to just date the pregnancy. And any doctor can do that. I mean, it's a very simple thing. You don't even have to, you don't even know ultrasound. Just examine the patient. You will miss it by 2 weeks, all right, if you are skilled enough. He said, that's what he's asking me to do. I said, Oga. He said, the man with thief palm oil for market, and the guy with help and carry him, two of them are thief. The man doing the termination, and the one engaging it and giving the price, I said, it's called conspiracy. Okay, I know go fit. Cut a long story short, I got fired instantly. Yeah, of course I got fired. I said, sir, I'm not going to do it. He said, he tried to argue. I remember what I told him. I said, chief, there's no point discussing this matter. You can never persuade me, and I won't even try to persuade you. So let's see whether we can work it out. You see all the, you look for all the missing objects. I take care of sick people. Because I actually saw a number of sick people that I helped. I still remember a few of them. I remember one woman who brought her sister-in-law, and she was so excited when I finished discussing with them and I gave a prescription. She just said that she was praying that I would be on duty. That she had told her sister-in-law that once they met that doctor there, the problem was over. And she had a simple problem. She just delivered and she was having what we call, well, postpartum infection. It was also a big, small thing, but they are giving her anti-malaria, and she wasn't getting well. I just examined her a bit and gave her antibiotics, and she became well. How did she get to like me so much? Her son had been having recurrent malaria for a long time. And the day she appeared in the clinic, I just decided that the child had, then chloroquine resistance was not this known. I mean, I'm talking about 1993, all right? 1993, 94. So I just said, look, this child, I'm sure he has a chloroquine resistant malaria. So I gave appropriate treatment for chloroquine resistant. And that's it, the child was well. So a few human beings used to come that didn't lose anything. So I asked the man whether we could arrange so that I see those that are really sick. And the man said, no. And this is the story. He fired me right there on the spot with no benefit. Just the salary for the few weeks I had worked. Now, what I'm going to say is that you disobey your boss, it must be because you are directly obeying God. Now, listen to what I'm saying. It is not that, you know, after being prayed, my spirit just says that this is the right thing to do. That's not the kind of directly obeying God I'm saying, you know. I am saying the one that is expressly, the one that you can say God said. Either because it was recorded clearly for everybody to see, or you had a kind of manifestation. Listen, I told you before, look, God knows how to correct things that are wrong if you are going to divorce Mary wrongly. Do you get what I'm trying to say? God knows how to correct it. So learn how to obey God. If God wants to bring the job back to you, he will bring the job back. But you don't please a man at the risk of displeasing God. But having said that, you don't disobey those in authority without crossing God's path. Let's read the scripture. I'll use to explain that. And then, quickly, Romans chapter 13. I'll read that and I'll leave that matter alone. That is why, young women, if your father says you can't marry a man, you can't marry him. Listen, men marry. Women are given in marriage. They don't give themselves like that. That's why every responsible church, they will ask, who gives this girl out in marriage? Either they ask that day or they ask beforehand. Some churches will even ask, are you sure you agree? They didn't drug you before now. some clowning pastors, actually. But the point is that women are given in marriage. Now, this is why I'm saying this, is that it becomes a challenge for Christians sometimes when they have, maybe you come from a Muslim family and your father has decided that for doing the one you are doing, all right, we are going to make life miserable for you. I don't have time to address that issue now. These are issues that need to be addressed. Do you understand? And then let me say something. Don't use exceptions to prove general principles wrong. There's a reason why I'm saying that. You can't say, you can't use that kind of bad situation to try and say that sometimes you should disobey your father. Listen, if your father, for example, decides that he's disowning you because you are no longer a Muslim, he has with his mouth said he does not have right to give you away. Peradventure, before that time, your pastor has adopted this fatherless girl. Do you follow my? No, yes, because you have become fatherless. If your father disowns you, you have become fatherless. And you can be adopted by somebody else. And it's spiritually, it's legal. Sometimes Jesus Christ comes and puts a sword in a home, divides the father away from the son. It's in the scriptures like that. Sometimes he does that. The truth of Christ sometimes brings a sword, scatters the home. So the people become fatherless. And sometimes God oftentimes becomes a direct father to the people. Sometimes it just gives the people in adoption over to other people, and those people now have the right to give the girl out in marriage if the man says no. But until that happens,
Be careful before you cross your father on matters of marriage. Be very careful. To obtain consent is not hard. Sometimes all he needs is patience. It doesn't mean he must show up. I've seen fathers that refuse to come, but they will delegate their son. You go and give your sister out in marriage. I'm a Muslim, I can't go to church. That is still correct. All right? We're not discussing that matter, right? Let's just leave it. Because if you sit on that matter, we won't leave here till tomorrow. You understand? There will be so many questions, all right, to answer. Romans 13. Let me just read verses 1 and 2. It said, let every person be in subjection to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God, and those which exist are established by God. Therefore, he who resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed will receive condemnation upon themselves. Let me just leave it there. I hope you've gotten the point. All right? Sometimes God needs those kind of authorities to help us in life. One of the ones I have found out most. Let me tell you something. There are things that God denies some people and gives to some people. For example, generally, if you are a wife, the ability to make final decisions is denied you and given to your husband. No matter how wise you think you are. I was discussing, there was one woman I had some dealing with some time ago. My wife and I were discussing. I said, see the mistake this woman is making? They're the kind of mistakes that you can't make. I said, do you know why? Because I will have stopped you. As you see, Pastor Bangiso, I know how to rule in my house. I rule in my house. Gentle, I do. I have to learn to rule. But let me tell you something. It's not about being macho, being a man. I'm the man. No, it's about understanding. No, it's about understanding. There are solutions that God will refuse to give my wife until I speak. No, ask her, she will tell you. The first few years of our marriage, she was proving that revelation. She was discerning the will of God from experience. She came to understand that the will of God is good, it is acceptable, and it is perfect. Through many, many experiences. No, really, it's so important that if you are in authority, let me just say something. It will help us for me to explain this. Two things. One, if you are under authority, you must learn to behave as one under authority. The thing that gave that Roman centurion his miracle for his servant was that he had understanding of authority. And he said there are two sides to it. One, he said, I am a man under authority. I am a man over authority. I have soldiers under me. He said, I said to this one, go, he goes. I said to that one, come, he comes. If you are in authority, you must learn to wield your authority. You must learn to demand obedience. It's not your responsibility, gentle, to be nice at home. I'm not joking about that. Let my wife not think that I'm a boss. I'm a boss! What's wrong with you? Why should she not think I'm a boss? Ha! It's like I get to the office. No, listen, I'm a pathologist. By virtue of the kind of work that I do, all right, when I issue reports on, if they say a woman has a lump in the breast and they bring it to me, it's my job to decide this is cancer, this is not, this is this disease, this is not that disease. I don't care how smart my senior registrar is. My signature is final. I have never said, let them not say that I'm too bossy. Listen, the buck stops at my table. If they say a woman has cancer and she doesn't have, and it was proved that the woman was mutilated wrongly, I'm held responsible, not them. Before the courts of God, if you are in authority, you are held responsible. I'm serious. Where things work properly, when they plan coup, when they catch all those who plan coup, they don't shoot the small soldier. He's just obeying orders. They shoot only the officers. The buck stops at their tables. If you're in authority, you must learn to give your final word. there's something my wife was supposed to go for. You know, they're supposed to go next week. And I told her simply, the other time, I said, this is enough. You know, I remember yesterday, she asked me, so what are you saying? Am I going? That's a good woman. He said, what are you saying? Am I going? That's, you see, if you are under authority, you must learn to give room. Because when you harass the person in authority over you, it is called nagging. Because you can harass even God enough until he gives an order contrary to his will. You know that? I only tell my wife when we were discussing. I said, don't bring up an issue except you have new information to give me. If I have already stated about it. You know, I've been begging you about this matter for the last 5 days. I begged you every day. That is witchcraft. You want to manipulate me now with, I've been begging you. You know, I've been begging you. After I've just been begging you. I told one man the other day, I said, I hate being begged. When I stick by my way, you want to make me look wicked. Because despite all the begging, don't beg me. Give me new information in case I made a wrong decision. If you don't have information to give me, forget it. I have made my decision. And in case I'm wrong, that's why you have God. You go home and pray. Sarah asked her husband to make a right decision. The man made the wrong one and she never asked him again. And the man went home and God said, you come, go and listen to the voice of your wife. Drive away Hagar and her son. Listen, if you're a woman, listen, let me tell you something. No matter how quiet your husband is, insist he speaks. If he says, do what you like, say, I have nothing I like. You must relax. No, listen. Oh God, I know I'm digressing, but let me explain this to you. I have discovered from experience, women who are bossy, when they use it at home, they are never happy. We discussed Genesis chapter 3. When God cursed Eve, you know what he said? He said, thy desire will be for thy husband, and he will lord it over you. Now, he will rule over you. You know what it means? Your desire will be for your husband means that you will look for him, you won't find him. You desire what you don't have. Maybe you have desired the Lamborghini. Which kind of car do you desire? A Hummer. It's obvious you don't have one. Do you understand my point? Men that have Hummer don't desire it. They drive it. Anyone desiring a Hummer doesn't have a Hummer. If your desire is for your husband, he obviously isn't there for you. And that comes when you make him do things against the will of God. The Roman centurion explained the principle. I'm a man under authority. That is, I make sure I hear go before I go. You know, the best way to see God's order is military. Armed forces, police. You see a detachment of policemen going out to go and fight robbers. There's somebody in charge. The other men don't fire except he says fire. The robber starts shooting. If he doesn't say fire, you dare not release a bullet. Except he says, there's one term they use for it. When he tell you, he gives you an instruction that allows you to fire when fired upon. If he doesn't give you that instruction ahead of time, you're in trouble. And the hierarchy is set. Like in the army, maybe they go out in a particular battalion. If the guy in charge is a colonel, the lieutenant colonel knows the second in command. If you gun down the colonel instantly, everybody knows that guy takes the reign of affairs. When he tells a man, stay, don't move. They don't move. Man that machine gun, even if the bombs are flying, you don't shift. Listen, if you're under authority, learn to walk with authority that's over you. And if you're in authority, wield authority. Listen, God speaks through you to your people. He speaks through you to those who are under you. Please get this point. Let me tell you what they call witchcraft. I need to explain this to godly women who pray too much. You hear what I said? Godly women who pray too much, hear this. Don't ever, ever in your life tell your husband, God told me, as to oppose what he's telling you to do. You are a witch of the highest order. Don't ever. I have found out spiritual women drop your spirituality at the door when you are going home. Even if you're a prophetess,
Once you enter into the courts of your home, you are not in charge. You are forbidden from seeing visions for your husband. It's called witchcraft. When somebody is in authority over you. I remember one young lady I was talking to once. She said that she was at work. And her boss, she's a young lady. Her boss is a woman. Now, she happens to have a brother-in-law who is higher than her boss. In the same office, the same, you know, that line of authority. Said her boss worried her so much, she went to report to her brother-in-law. I said, that is a sin. Kneel down and confess. I said, you know what you have done? You have now got, because you, what has the woman told you to do? So you want your brother-in-law, because he's a family person, to come and oppress her for you? I said, that is a sin. Yes, you are, look, you are breaking ranks. You are not following the proper order. That is the same reason why, you, look, if you have an issue with your husband, pray and leave it there. If God doesn't talk to him, you are not the voice of God, though. Do you get my point? If God does not talk to him, you are not the voice of God. You know when Joab, when David wanted to number Israel, Joab and Co knew it was wrong. Ah, he said, my Lord, why are we bothering? The man said number. So yes, they knew it was wrong. They couldn't do anything. No, Joab and Co, they knew it was wrong. Ah, my master, ah, please, oh, God has blessed his people. May they continue to increase. Why are we bothering to number? David said, you decrease. I said number. All correct, sir. They numbered. When God was going to judge, God, you were there. No, be me. Look at the soldiers they sent to go and arrest Elisha. They sent them to go and arrest a man of God. Look, you can't refuse to go. But you know it's a man of God. So the first set got there. Oh, man of God, come down. You're in trouble today. He said, hey, man of God, let fire from heaven come consume you. Consume the first batch, the second batch. Then there was a sensible man who came. I said, good morning, sir. Good morning, sir. I'm a soldier, sir. And you know, soldiers, anything we say, they say we should do. What else can we do? Please, sir, let the life of me and my men be precious in your sight. Elijah looks at, you're a good boy. Come, I will follow you. He couldn't refuse to go. But when he got there, Yoruba man has a say that if they give you an errand worthy of a slave, you get there, you deliver it like a son. Do you get my point? Because only a slave will go and arrest a man of God. When they wanted to kill the priests, Israel soldiers couldn't kill. It was a foreign soldier that agreed to kill the priest. We saw when Saul wanted to do that because they harbored David, all right? Uh-huh. So this guy, that's how, what he just did. He said, man of God, you know I'm not worthy of arresting you. Sorry, sir, but I'm a soldier. I just had to come here. Are you learning something from the things I'm saying? And that's how, with authority, you have to be very careful. Because God indeed speaks through authority. And I'm giving the normal methods by which God speaks. Are you getting my point? Uh-huh. Because if you have to disobey authority because of a direct obedience to God, then it becomes God's responsibility to defend you. Do you follow what I'm saying? When you have to disobey authority because of direct obedience to God, it becomes his responsibility to defend you. I hope you've gotten my point there. I hope you've gotten my point. All right. I mean, we can't say everything. We're just taking advantage of the rain that is falling. Because nobody's going anywhere anyway. So let's just keep teaching. Amen. The Lord is good. I think the Lord wants us to finish this teaching today. Because normally by now we'll have closed. So let's take the last one, and then I can close. Now, I've been speaking so far on what I call the natural ways by which God speaks. This one, you don't have to be spiritual. You know what I mean? You don't have to dream dreams, see visions, or be. There's no difficulty. There are obvious things. People that have understanding more than you can give you correction from God's word on what to do and what not to do. They can do that. I mean, God can give you new information. And then when somebody who is superior to you gives an instruction, stops what you wanted to do, oftentimes that's the way by which God is telling you, don't do that. Are you getting what I'm saying? And then this last one I'm going to put amongst the natural ways is what I call natural occurrences. What did I call it?
natural occurrences. What do I mean? For example, it's raining heavily right now. And for that reason, you can't go anywhere. Is it the will of God that we should be teaching now? I actually think so. Because whether I teach or not, you ain't going anywhere. Normally, we should have closed 30 minutes ago. But what can we do? Am I going to rebuke the rain so that you can go home? The faith to do that is not even in my heart right now. Yes. Let me give you a few scriptures. When Jesus was commanding his disciples to go out and preach, he said, when you are persecuted in this city, know what you should do? Flee to the next. That's a natural occurrence. When you are persecuted in this city, he said you should do what? Flee to the next. I always tell brothers who want to marry, if a young woman is giving you persecution, you flee to her friend. What is the problem? He said the next. There has to be somebody close by. You'll flee to the next. What's the problem? He said, maybe this is the one God ordained. It is maybe. You're not sure. So since he's persecuting you, maybe it's in the next city that you're supposed to flee to. I mean, that is the truth. You know, I have never understood why men will be chasing women who are persecuting them. The order of God is if you are persecuted in one city, this one you're looking straight, I have a feeling that somebody's persecuting you. You are persecuted in one city. You flee to the next. What is it? One whole year, she's still praying. 1 year, 6 months. Which kind of prayer is that? What kind of prayer? Are you praying to hear God? You are praying that my status in life will change. You have to marry me like this. Oh, this is why I can marry. Until you marry me like this, I'm not changing. I'm telling you. You say, my spirit just says she's the one. 2 years you have been under persecution. Ha! You are not a disciple. No? Every disciple has fled. Flee to the next. I mean, what am I saying? You flee. The Lord is good. That's what I call natural occurrences. I mean, if it's raining heavily, why are you entering the rain? You wait so you know, you chill out, finish your Bible study. Then when the rain stops, you go. Are you getting what I'm saying? Let me tell you what I call natural occurrence. And let me tell you something. We need to understand these things because sometimes we start fighting the will of God until the door finally opens and we think and we go and testify that we were doggedly determined and the will of God has now come. Not knowing that all the while what we're doing was fighting the will of God. We need to understand these ways by which God speaks. So that you don't fight, because if you fight the will of God long enough, sometimes he gives you what is inferior to his will. Yes. A brother came to me once, I've told you the story before, but I need to tell it again so that I understand what I mean by God leading you through natural occurrences. He wanted to go to UK. He went the first time, they denied him visa. Second time, they denied him visa. And I'm talking about when each visa appointment was costing more than one whole month's salary. You know, if you go to American embassy now, you pay $100. That's about a little less than 12,000 naira. You pay $100, all right? That time, maybe we were earning like it was working for like 8,000 naira and paying like 10,000 naira for visa fees. So each visit was bleeding. You know they call bleeding? It was really hemorrhage. Issue of blood, yes, that's a good expression. Because when you are walking, that's blood. Each visit was real bleeding. It's as if they cut his vein and blood is coming out. He went second time, no show. The third time he was going to go, a man said, I will help you. This is what I will do, this and this, and you will get the visa. The day before that appointment, the man died, physically died. I'm not joking. The man collapsed and he died. Death. No, I don't mean a spiritual death. I mean, today he was, the next day he was no more. They did obituary and they buried him. That was when he ran to come and meet me. Pastor Banky, what do I do? What should you do? dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That's what the Bible says. What should you do? I said, well, he said the appointment is tomorrow. I said, go for the appointment. You have already paid for that one, yes. And go. If they give you the visa, you are in the center of the will of God. If they don't, oh boy, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. That's what the Bible says. He went the next day and they didn't give him jack. Except that in that particular situation, the brother kept on going. Eventually, he passed, you know, he found a way and he traveled. Listen, I can't judge the situation. I don't know the details that happened after that, but I remember that story very well. Because what came to my heart was, what more do you want God to do to tell you not to bother? Are you getting my point? All those days when people were, you know, queuing up for visa and all of that, I said there are things I banky didn't know how to do. I don't know how to, you know, I told you I don't like being begged, please now, in the same manner I don't do please now. Honestly, I don't, I just don't like it. When I was in university, I used to see guys, they are chasing a girl, and the girl is persecuting them. Hi! And I used to wonder, what is wrong with you? Is that how lowly you esteem yourself? In my life, no woman will ever persecute me, I used to swear. What kind of persecution is that? When Nigerians were keen up at Eleke Crescent, this was one guy you never saw near there. Is it because of ministry? No. That time wasn't because of ministry. It was because nobody could insult me and I will stomach it. I'm telling you. No. That time it wasn't because, you know, now you hear me preach about it. But then, apart from the fact that I had faith and I believe that God can bless me anyway, my major issue was that, I will go at 12 midnight and go and stand on a queue. The next day, some soldiers will come and use Koboko to drive all of you. And then finally, one small girl that does not have a fraction of my education, when you stand there and twist her twisted long nose, and mentally talking down at me, I said, God, fire God, I can't take it. Please, in Jesus' name, I won't take it. And I never took it. I used to drive by there. I remember then I'll go out with my cousin. She used to travel a lot abroad. So sometimes I would go to Belgium, the Netherlands embassy and all of that. And I will see men queue. I said, I, Banky, will never be found on that queue. Natural occurrences, that's what I'm talking about. You are there suffering for visa, they won't give you. Oh boy, go and find work. Are you getting what I'm saying? You are there suffering for visa and they have refused. Please go back home and go to school and go and find work. Do a business. Do something. What more will God do for you? You went to embassy. Before you went to embassy, they stole your money. You paid 200,000 naira for passport. You never saw it or visa. Then the day you finally got an appointment in embassy, the small girl abused you thoroughly. At the end of the day, you are still going back. I'm asking you a simple question. What more do you want God to do? Does he have to kill you first to let you know this is not his will? Listen, we have to get this thing clear. God uses natural occurrences to shape people up. He didn't want Balaam to go. What happened? The ox started misbehaving. Is that doing what? The donkey. No, this is one of the things I do. Maybe I want to go to Onitsha now. I start my car. Are you getting me? In fact, I'll tell you a real story to let you know these things happen. The day I was parking away from Lagos, finally, that is, final parking, I locked the house, handed the keys to somebody that was official quarters. I was finally leaving Lagos. All my remnant luggage were inside my car. My wife was with me, and we had waved bye-bye to our friends. And I entered the filling station, I bought fuel. Having bought the fuel, something happened, the girl selling the fuel and I, we had a bit of disagreement because I told her something, she heard what I said wrongly and she did the wrong thing. And you know, I was really very, very angry. So, the car was driving then. The security in the car, if you deactivate it after it has gone off, you know, it will shut down the engine. Sometimes you forget, you know. So, as the car is moving, the engine shuts down. If you just press the button and reactivate the engine,
I don't know what used to happen, but it's as if there is a lot of fuel pours into your cylinders as they go, and the thing explodes. And every time it happens, it tears my exhaust. So because of that, the way that girl annoyed me, I forgot. I just entered my car, started the car, started driving. As I hit Ikorodu Road in Lagos like this, next thing I heard was, the engine went off. Without thinking, I just reactivated it. Then I hadn't gotten used to this phenomenon, actually. Next thing I heard was, wow! And that was it. My exhaust just tore. All right? Of course, you know the way it is. Exhaust, a car without exhaust. I was coming to Enugu. So I was going to drive that day to Benin, and then that's halfway. Following day, come down to Enugu. My wife said, what are you going to do? Oh, I forgot to tell you, it was already late in the day. It was already like 3 o'clock. It was 3 hours to get to Benin. It was already like, no, by this time when I was like 2 o'clock. So it wasn't too late yet. I said, no, I can't drive this car like this. No, I can't. So I went off the express, went down to my mechanic's place. They looked at it and said, they have to do, a bit of work they had to do. How long did it take? He said about an hour. They took about an hour and a half, finished the whole thing. By the time they were finishing, it was past 4. Of course, it didn't make sense to start driving towards Benin, leaving Lagos at past 4 o'clock. You wanted to get to Benin at night. So, of course, if you know the kind of person my wife is, once her mind is on that journey, it's as if you are doing iniquity if you don't let the journey complete. So, I said, baby, sorry. We are going back to... That means we are so packed away, we couldn't go back to the house we left. We had to go and sleep in our friend's house, Topsy and Ye one day. So, when they saw us, they said, hey, people, what is happening here? I said, oh, boys, we're still here. I don't know what happened. Of course, they made a room for us, and then we settled in. Our luggage was still in the car. We just locked the car up. And then we settled down to watch TV in the evening. And DBN in Lagos was showing news. And DBN used to show a lot of news from Edo State. And then they showed it that there was not one single drop of fuel in Benin. And the guy made a statement, if you are planning to come to Benin, please bring your fuel along. And that was one thing we hadn't done. Do you get the point? My wife and I looked at each other and said, okay. So next day, we obtained jerry cans from my friend, Topsy. First thing we did was to enter a filling station and fill the car tank, fill the jerry cans, and keep them somewhere in the car. Then we got to the express and found out that even that our rush was not necessary. One trailer had blocked the road since yesterday. But then we reached that redemption curve area, there was no movement. We spent like 2 hours to cross that section. I told my wife, thank God we didn't come yesterday. Listen, there are different ways. Your spirit could have said, banky, do not travel. Do not travel. Oh, banky, why are you traveling? Shoo, sit down. That is correct. But my spirit did not say that. Because the spirit, God knows when you won't hear. Don't try to be righteous that me, I will have heard. Listen, my friend. If your heart is already going somewhere, God will have to stop. You know Balaam? Balaam's heart was going. So the angel went and stopped square. And he said, dead in the center of the road. He said, you're not going anywhere. Balaam did not see the angel. But I saw the donkey misbehaving. My car was the donkey misbehaving. Until I discovered the will of God. Are you getting my point? No, that's how it works. That's what I mean by natural occurrences. I have learned now these days, I don't ever complain when such things happen. I don't ever. I was coming from there some time ago. Next time I was like, they said timing belt inside my car, spoil. Listen, ask my wife, she's a witness. Calamities in quotes like that, first thing it gets out of me is, Father, I thank you. Thank you, Jesus. No, really, thank you, Jesus. Lord, I love you. I thank you very much. Amen and amen and amen. I start the car. Oh, Lord Jesus, I thank you. Amen. The Lord is good. Oh, Father, I give you thanks. I whip out my phone. Call mechanical. But this guy is not starting in Jesus' name. Lord, I just love you. Amen. No, really. That's what I do all the time. Because even in the midst of my adversity, see the will of God like this. Listen, I have not ever pretended that I don't make mistakes. So if God is using that to correct my mistake, is that not thanksgiving that I should be giving him? Why do people want to believe that if you're a man of faith, you will just know? That's what I was taught those days in school. I have discovered that it's not true. It is not true. There are a lot of things man of faith does not know.
Hey, listen, many things. I like the way Elisha said it. He said, the Lord has hidden it from me. Sometimes God will hide something from you. Saw the woman running. He said, ah, why is she running? He said, God has not even agreed to tell me what is going on. Sometimes God doesn't tell you anything. He allows circumstances in life to tell you stuff. God speaks to people. That's what I'm saying. And one of the ways he speaks is through circumstances. You're going to apply for a job. Then, finally, after you've prepared everything, you knew you will get it. Of all things to happen that day, of all things to happen, the boss you enter decided to be arrested by police. And you wanted to come down. And the officer said, where are you going? Ah, okay, I'm a passenger. I said, so what? And God knows how to put wicked people at certain strategic positions to help you. Finally, they said to, after 1 hour, you get there. Say, why are you just coming? Do you follow my point? Listen, don't be angry. Just discover the will of God. That God said, this is not the place of your rest. Just keep on moving. Jessica, remember the day Okada carried you past your bus station? What happened to the bus that you missed? It caught fire in front of you and burnt the passengers inside. Jessica, stand up. I'm not telling you a story of something that happened to somebody that this is the person it happened to. Sit down. She was traveling. He told the Okada man, I'm going to park A. The Okada man blew past. After plenty. Why did you? At the end of the day, the bus she was going to enter, before her eyes, on the way to Abuja, she saw the thing catching fire. It's not every time God will tell you, my son, that bus might catch fire. Do not enter. Do not enter. It's not, all those things are not necessary. I'm telling you, child of God is not necessary. It's not. The Okada man carry you past the point. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Listen, your life is not in the Okada man's hands. He can't control it. Are you getting what I'm saying? I told you the story, a traffic warden harassed me here. And everybody said, why is that man? I know the man. He likes harassing people. But why did God deliver me into his hands? Because I told an old man to wait for me at my mechanic's place that I will come and take him home. For some time, I reasoned that the man may not be there waiting anymore. After me and that man had that issue, I'm a spiritual man. That's what they call spiritual. It's not because I just said, no, God, what is going on here? Then the Spirit of God gently reminded me, you told somebody to wait for you. I just turned, went back. To my amazement, the old man was sitting down patiently waiting for this stupid little boy. And I got there, see repentance in my heart. He didn't know what was going on. Sir, okay, I'm ready now, sir. I opened the door, I sit down. I drove, in fact, I wanted to drive him into his bedroom. Sometimes, listen, through natural disappointment, you will locate the will of God for your life. Listen, the voice of God sounds from physical things. Are you getting my point? When God speaks, it echoes. You know what they call echo? If God speaks, the echo, all right, might come from a bus tire. As you are going here, boom, the tire is gone. And that was the day you forgot to carry. Maybe you left your...